Welcome, heroes, to the Crit Academy. I am your host, Justin.
And I'm your co-host, Ian.
And Brandon is still not here.
And we don't have Austin either.
Yeah, no Austin either, so you just have to deal with these two schmucks.
You captured Austin.
This Twitch cast was created to provide you, our heroes, with new and reusable material for both players and DMs. We hope to inspire you with creative content that you can bring with you on your next adventure.
Our show may not be suitable for young children, but neither is our D&D games.
We want to thank you guys for joining us today here at Crit Academy Studios, where everything's made up and your rolls don't matter.
Yep, that's right. Your rolls are like an artificer without the ability to infuse objects with magic.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about the artificer today, are you?
Yeah.
It's first class, I think, in at all.
It's
right?
The first new class officially released since the game came out, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, that's exciting. It definitely tickles my dice.
Dice, baby.
We got a lot to talk about aside from that as well. For our Let's Talk About Blank segment, we have a question from Carlos in regards to loot. Of course, our main topic today is our class analysis, where we're going to break down the artificer. And then our final segment is our Unearthed Tips and Tricks, where we bring you a new character concept, a monster variant, an encounter idea, a magic item, DM tip, player tip. Every effing week we bring you that stuff. I'm really excited for that. But before all that, we spent a few minutes talking about what's going on in our realms, and I think I kind of got a big thing I want to talk about today. Last week we covered the D&D Essentials Kit, and one of our awesome listeners decided that he would allow us to give away a physical kit, an essentials kit. So we did have a competition or a contest rolled out throughout the week for people who responded to the Twitter post and the Facebook post. And Ian, who did our winner end up being?
Do you have it written down?
I do. It's right there, right at the end of the sentence. Facebook follower Celia Martinez. Yeah, it's not always perfect. So congratulations to Celia. You're going to get a nice essentials kit. Compliments of our patron and longtime bearded wizard supporter, New York Tater. Thank you, Tater. That was generous of you.
I can see his beard all the way from here.
But that is not the only giveaway we had during the week.
No.
We actually had three, and so we gave away a couple different prizes. We hit 1,500 followers on Facebook, so that was exciting. Cheer.
Yeah. Woo!
So we were giving away a entire bundle kit, which includes every single copy of everything we've released on DM's Guild, to Twitter follower at Kreitz Sean. That's where we applaud them. So lots of fat weeks going out this week. So keep an eye. I'm still in the process of reaching out to a 1K Twitter follower reward. So we'll get that in the next episode next week. But congratulations to everyone that gets involved and follows us in likes and comments on all of our posts. We really appreciate that. We had Invite a Friend Day today, so make sure to go hit that. I might be picking, giving some fat loots for that as well. There was something exciting I did yesterday. I did the final playtest of my Blade Dancer yesterday, and I did what was called the Endless Hallway. And basically, the player had to go from one end of the room to the other and open a door. But the doors are different and randomly generated every time they get through it. And are not, some can't be lifted. They need to be solved with a puzzle. Others are surrounded by chains that wrap around and drag you towards it. Oh, and mind you, there's a sphere of annihilation that moves in on the end every single round. So it was an exciting, exciting time for me yesterday. I was really happy with that.
I feel like most of those puzzles could be solved with C4.
Oh, son of a bitch. He was running, so the Blade Dancer is a Ranger build, so he was running he was running dual boxing, the Ranger Blade Dancer with the Monster Hunter, Monster Slayer, I think it's called. And so that was really interesting. We did a lot of statistics to check out the balance, and it seems pretty well balanced as far as I can tell. So I'm really excited for that, so keep an eye out for that. I think that'll do it for In the Realm. Ian, if they'd like to visit other realms, how can they do so?
Why, they can get a free trial from Audible, which they can find by going to our website, by subscribing, and by clicking the link.
Yeah, do that. We like that stuff. Follow us on Twitch as well.
And not to mention, you also get a free ebook as part of that trial. So, free stuff.
Yeah, do that for sure. We like that shit. I love my audiobook trial. I recommend it. I'm obsessed with it, actually. So before we move on, every single episode we like to give, we keep talking about all the fat loots we give away. We like to give away a copy of The Claws of Madness, compliments of Loresmith to Twitch follower, can't fold this. That's how I feel when I'm doing my laundry.
Each episode, we will draw another lucky subscriber's name, and they will win the best-selling adventure, The Claws of Madness, compliments of Loresmith. Loresmith is a small indie team of creative artists who remember exploring the realms together with friends, finding incredible places, and meeting colorful characters along the way. They set out to deliver an experience that sparks those lasting impressions that pushed them to create their first standalone adventure, The Claws of Madness. This best-selling adventure is one that you don't want to miss.
So congratulations to Can't Fold This. If you enjoyed the adventure, please make sure to let Loresmith know. That being said, on to our Let's Talk About Blank segment. Ian, who does our question come from today?
Carlos Rodriguez from Facebook. My party rarely searches for loot after a fight, and almost never search for a hidden treasure after a major encounter. Should I just hand stuff to them?
What the fuck is wrong with your party?
Maybe the new players don't know how to do it in the first place.
How dare you use a reasonable example? I was like, every party I've ever been is like mid-combat, a kobold falls, I loot the body. The guy's about to stay, I loot the fucking body! Honestly, I'm not a fan of just handing over items. To me, that's an opportunity for you. If you think they're not doing it, per Ian's example, they're not experienced, then maybe guide them to it. Ask them, hey, do you want to look for anything? Do you want to pick pockets or anything like that? Do you want to search around for magical doors? Any of that stuff? And then if you prod them a little bit and they don't take no interest, then they miss out on items.
Hey, you see a bag that's laced open with gold spilling from it.
Do you want to pick it up? It could be as simple as that. Another thing is, if it's them just not caring, then maybe just at the end of every combat, ask for an investigation check.
Where did the tiger keep that 20 silver?
You find, like, great swords out of wolves and shit. I really think this depends on how you want to run your game. If you want to be giving out lots of magical items, then go ahead and just give it to them, but part of adventuring is feeling like you've earned something and searching it out and finding it. I think in a recent previous episode, we talked about there's a quest to find the Dragon Slaying Sword of Dragons. Last known location was the big green forest to the north where the green dragon lays. Well, if they don't take that hook, okay, well, you can't make them go get it, but
they're so savage sometimes. What? My son's name's Tayrtat, but sometimes I come Everclear, because that's how he was conceived.
Oh, shit. Did Justin just eat Austin? Yeah, no. I definitely look like I did, though. But yes, this really depends on you. Honestly, I'm not a fan of just giving magic items to people, so if they don't search, and you've prodded them a couple times, then hey, beyond that, they're just missing out on loot. So when they get to the werewolf, and they missed out on grabbing silver weapons because they went to the silversmith shop and chose not to ask about weapons or look around, then so be it, and that's going to be their own fault because now that encounter is going to be more challenging. Or maybe you offer they're in a mage's tower and they chose not to look around and are bitching about not having easily to carry stuff. Well, you could have, if you would have searched around that tower, maybe you would have found something like a bag of holding, but you didn't, so shit out of luck. I wouldn't just give them items personally.
Or you could just simply go, hey guys, why don't you ever look for things?
Yeah, that would be a good starting point. Just ask them. Maybe they're just not aware that they can do it like new people would be. Once again, I would at the very least, even if they don't ask for it, just ask for like an investigation check after every area where you know something's there just to see if they find it.
This actually makes me think of a friend of mine in back in 4th edition mentioned a module that he found hilarious because they were he read reviews for online. And the way the dungeon worked was anything the players imagine becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like, the old-school D&Ders were kind of being slaughtered because they were kind of thinking like the worst possible scenarios from like the other earlier editions. Whereas the new players just walk through it because it just never occurred to them.
Right. They just open the door and go right through?
Yeah, I've had that.
But I think this is a pretty simple solution. It really just comes on how you want to run your game, honestly. We hope this helps you. If it doesn't, please send a letter to the complaint department at critacademy@gmail.com. Feel free to attach some money to it to ensure that we actually read it.
Jingle, jingle, jingle.
Because otherwise I won't at all. Like, one guy said, actually labeled it complaint once. I don't ever think I actually opened it. I think that'll do it for our Let's Talk About Blank segment. Now moving on to our main topic, probably why everyone in chat is actually here, is to discuss the newest class. In our main topic, we're doing our class analysis on the Artificer from the new Eberron book. Oh, look at he's showing, isn't that thing a beauty? It's so, the art's so cool. I like the uniqueness of it.
I feel bad for the guys at Barnes & Noble.
Why is that?
Well, most of the early books, when they were sent to stores, are these special editions.
Mm-hmm.
I want the regular one, because all my other books are the regular version, so mm-hmm. I want them to be the same. So I'm calling, like, is this the, you guys have the regular version in stock? We have Eberron in stock. I don't know if it's a like, special edition. Like, I don't know. It's a cover to reflective foil!
Yeah, Brandon did pocket the $5 from Tater's actual yelling at us and official complaint at the convention, but
yeah,
so I'm really excited to talk about this. Honestly, I want to get off started. What do you think the biggest difference between the Eberron campaign setting is and the Forgotten Realms campaign setting?
Magic.
Yes, there is magic fucking magic everywhere. You can't walk into a closet without tripping over a magical broom.
Like, I have joked in the past, you can buy magical items from vending machines.
Daddy, I want that one. Son, that's a little out of my price range. Why don't you take the flame tongue weapon, okay? Anyways.
Slightly exaggerated.
Right. But let's get into it. So, we are going to focus entirely on the 5e class. I'm not going to worry too much about the previous or what they could do before. That's just going to slow down the process. So, what are artificers? For those of you guys who know, artificers are masters of unlocking magic in everyday objects. They are supreme inventors. That reminds me of, did you ever see that, I don't know who made it, called Mastermind? The guy that does all the little gizmos? Does the happy song. You know what I'm talking about? Guru?
What's his name? I have no idea who you're talking
about. Oh man, he got big ass, god damn it, dude. What good are you?
Right now, more than Brennan.
Grew. Yeah, right. They see magic as complex systems waiting to be decoded and controlled. Artificers use tools, that's important, I can't wait to talk about that, to channel the arcane power, creating magical objects to cast their spells. An artificer can use an alchemist's supplies to create potent elixirs, or a calligrapher's supplies to inscribe complex and magical sigils of power on an ally's armor, or maybe they use the tinkerer's tools to craft a temporary charm. The magic of the artificer is tied to the tools and to their tools and their talents. And that really, that's a small excerpt from this amazing lore that comes from this book. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I really like this. I've talked about on the show that I really like to reflavor my wizards, and I have reflavored them to no end to be the artificer. So for me to actually see an artificer come out
in 5th edition.
In 5th edition is really exciting. So let's get on to it. So as we work through this, we're not going to verbatim read the features out of the book. We're going to kind of just cut them down to our interpretation of them and tell you what we like about them and how we think we can probably get the most out of them, right?
Yep.
The first thing that I noticed about this is that it's actually got really low hit dice. A 1d8 is just barely better than, I mean, that's basically caster level, right?
I mean, it's better than a d6.
Yeah, I guess. Which is kind of what I expected early on, but I would have hoped for something a little bigger, but I guess you can't put it up there with Paladin and
well, they're not Ranger. Yeah. It's not a martial class, so.
Well, that's the other thing. So, they're actually, as far as I can tell, they're a half caster, not a full caster.
Yep, because there are spell slots when we go up to 5th level.
Yeah, so.
But that's not where they shine, though. So.
Yeah, right. And it's the only other we finally got another intelligence class.
Yep.
Like, no more charisma fuckers. I'm so excited. Like, intelligence has been to only the wizards for so long. So that's another thing that I think is exciting, because I think that's where the game lacks right now. So, is that you only really got the one intelligence ability and one intelligence class. So.
Yeah, but you have how many archetypes over the wizard?
Yeah, that's true. You do get, well.
That's a few.
Yeah. So as we're looking through this, Did you notice that it gives two different saves? It gives, or they all give two different saves. It gives Constitution and Intelligence, which I think is great for concentration features, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's the thing that the wizard doesn't have that, does it?
What is the wizard's
other? But I don't think it's I don't think it's concentration. So that's pretty cool. I did notice that they, per your point, they only get simple weapons and medium, up to medium armor and shields. So they're definitely not going to be your go-to beat your face in as is, right?
Okay. Well, there is a note, though, saying that if you're setting Hezet, which with Eberron you very well may, they do have proficiency with firearms if they're available in your game. Which, and they do have firearm rules in the Dungeon Master's Guide.
Yes, and I think that that's really cool too, because honestly, that's something I've considered adding to my games, because I want to introduce like more traditional pirates, and I think that that would be a really big surprise for the players as they're on a boat and a damn cannonball hits them and sinks their ship. You sink my battleship!
Arr!
So the fact that that's included is cool because it encourages DMs to include firearms now.
Yeah, and the firearm rules are in Chapter 9 of the DMG on page 268.
Yeah, and basically says if you choose to include this, they are proficient in them. Once again, you could make this something. If you don't want firearms in your game, maybe you make that a unique thing just for the Artificer. Something that they've created.
Which makes sense. I mean, and going by the rules, even the Renaissance firearm, like the pistol, does 1d10 piercing damage. But also keep in mind, though, that this will go off of dexterity, not intelligence.
Right,
so.
Right. So they're going to have to kind of spread their stats around a little bit. So now let's get into the meat and potatoes. We talked a little bit about the spell slot. At first level, when you pick up this class, you actually get magical tinkering, and I really thought this was really cool. Basically, you learn how to invest a spark of magic into mundane objects. And the first thing I thought of with this is one of the abilities basically allows you to create the little hologram that you see in Star Wars, right? I mean, I pretty much have used that with like Minor Illusion, but it can't talk or anything. But with this, you can actually get it to emit recorded messages and stuff. Of course, it's giving it, imbuing it with a magical effect so it glows.
Or if you're a shopkeeper, it automatically plays anytime somebody opens the door.
That's cool. I like that. That's very subtle.
Welcome to the Emporium.
Or not so subtle, I guess. The last thing that I think is really cool, it basically lets you make a marquee. Mm-hmm. Right? Or like a tablet, right? Yep. So you can make a visual effect like on a box that basically has like scrolling words and shapes and you basically can make a tablet, which I think is pretty cool and would be way cooler than any spell book.
And a couple other options include like a object shines a bright light with a 5-foot radius and dim another 5. Record a message of 10 feet away, emits an odor or nonverbal sound of your choice. And, like you said, a stag visual effect, which also could include up to 25 words.
Yeah, and I think that's really cool. And, Ian, how long does that last?
Forever.
Until you cancel it, or if you choose not to, and I think that's fantastic. Though I do think it says if you die, something, one of them goes away. I don't know if it's this one or not. But basically, they're indefinite. You make these little... That, to me, sounds like a character con artist thing. Once again, making little trinkets and selling them to kids and stuff. You could be Santa Claus!
Eat at Joe's.
Eat at Joe's.
Eat at Joe's.
Giant neon lights, neon sign. Dude, you totally could be Santa Claus with this shit. Every time you go through a town as an adventurer, you just make a bunch of little contraptions for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get a little puck there and they drop it down like the Mandalorian one.
Yep.
And it's a little after image and it's a little dog and a playing fetch or something. I don't know. I feel like I would have a lot of fun with that. That's a lot of roleplay opportunity in my opinion. So, as you begin your thorough trip into the mastering of the arcane and investing this spark of magic into mundane items, what other kind of cool things do you get? It definitely, I see we get some tool proficiencies.
Yeah.
Or is it just tool requirements?
Well, you can actually use thieves' tools or some sort of artisan tools with a spellcasting focus.
I love that. That was so... the other, just recently, it was one of my characters that died, because all my characters fucking die.
I think you do on purpose half the time, though, so you can be a new character.
The last time I did do it. He even gave me permission to playtest my Blade Dancer, but, so, I like this. So, for instance, let's talk about the calligraphal tools. When I ran my wizard, I was just saying I like to reflavor it. I can totally see using the calligrapher tools to like draw like animations and stuff in the air, mm-hmm. and then have them act out or paint them and them to come to life, kind of like a like Bob Ross or the Sai from Naruto. So I really think that you could get a lot out of that depending on the artisan tool that you picked.
Oh yeah.
What can you tell me about cantrips?
Well, it's a level zero spell that most casters get. It's a cantrip.
How many do they get? They only get two. So they don't have... The versatility is not quite as...
You get up to four.
Yeah, higher levels, right?
Yeah, but you start with two.
Yeah, and you yeah, I guess a level three... Yeah, you don't get another one until level
ten.
Six.
Ten.
Infused cantrip. Oh, yeah, level 10. So you're stuck with two for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So that's definitely... So you really got to make sure you pick those and choose those wisely.
Yep. Maybe that firearm proficiency's not so bad after all.
When in doubt, blow them away. So as we're going through this, once again, we mentioned that intelligence is your spellcasting modifier. They do get ritual casting, which I think is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I love ritual casting because I think that's where some of the best opportunities can come from as far as flavor and roleplay. I love the idea of being like using the old alchemist where you got to draw all the circles and put the little candles up. And so that definitely is interesting, though. Tossing in the flavor of your tools and your little trinkets would make that even cooler. All your little gizmos and shit kind of reminded of the old, Back to the Future 3 when Doc goes back in the past and he makes the big giant machine. It's just makes ice cubes.
Yeah.
Imagine my rituals looking a little something like that. All the little knobs and everything twisting.
Yep.
So once you hit level 2, that's a lot of stuff you can kind of go over at level 1. But at level 2, you get really what I think is the core feature of the class.
Infuse
which
items.
Are infusions. So you basically gain the ability to imbue mundane items with certain magical infusions. And those the magic items you create with this feature are effectively prototypes of permanent items you will be able to create, right?
And you start off with four known infusions.
Right. So, and there's like, what, at least 10 different infusions, right?
But you can only infuse up to two at once when you first get this. But it eventually goes up to six.
Yeah. So we're not going to go through all the infusions, but we're going to talk about one or two of them. Is there a particular one that you really liked?
I mean, I'll just get the basic one out of the way. You can add pluses to you, just straight up pluses to magical armor or weapons.
Yep. So you can create that traditional boost to AC.
And give it to allies even.
Yep. Which, that's huge, right? Because even though every player has a limit on attunement,
yep.
The artificer gets more, and because you can give away items to your party, you literally can be the source of magic items for your party, which I think is fantastic. So, I just want to touch on a couple of... You already mentioned the most obvious one, the enhancing of the weapons, but they also have one that I think is called Enhanced Arcane Focus, which basically, while holding it, gains a +1 bonus to attack spells, in addition to the target's ignore half cover while making a spell attack, and when the bonus increases at 10th level in this class. That's fantastic.
Yeah, actually quite a few of these gain more features when you hit 10th level.
Yes, so. which is a very cool thing, because that means the infusions grow with you as you get stronger, which is fantastic. If any of you in the audience have actually played one of these or have their own thoughts, please share them with us. We'd love to know what Crit Nation has to say. The other one that I thought really jumped out at me is I like summon servants and stuff.
Yep.
So the fact that you can create a homunculus, I think is fantastic, because now I can create a unseen servant.
Yep.
I can get a find familiar if I take a feat, because I don't think that's on this spellcasting list. And now I can get the homunculus, which is really, really cool and just is so versatile. It gets lots of cool stuff. Like, it can even actually attack, which is pretty dope, and it doesn't require any actions of you.
And I would say probably one of the biggest infusions, actually, and I'm not referring to just the sheer amount of options you have with it, is the Replicate Magic item.
Yes. Yes. Oh my god, that's awesome. That's a really good one. Do you want to touch a little more in detail on that one?
Short version, as you level up, you can choose from a chart, and there's multiple charts depending on what level you are.
Right.
And you can basically, I make this magic item. Like, at second level, you can make stuff like Goggles of Night, Rope of Climbing, Sunning Stones, Wand of Magical Detection, mm-hmm. Bag of Holding.
Lots of cool stuff. And once again, those are opportunities to sell.
Okay. And that's just the second level. You get more options at 6th, 10th, right. 14th. And,
so,
and shoot. You can eventually get stuff like Brace of Defense, Boots of Speed, Ring of Protection. There's options.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that's where the core of this class really comes into play, is the infusions give you a lot of versatility in including magical items into your game. So to the previous question early on is, if my players don't loot anything, should I just not give them anything? Well, if they got an artificer in the group, it doesn't matter, does it?
Or if they're probably of all artificers.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I got a question. As the artificer, would you charge your players for those items?
No. I mean...
You're far more benevolent than me.
Well, just because if you give them stuff, it makes them better, which helps you stay alive better, so...
Yeah, that may be true, but you just... When you're good at something, you don't do it for free. Don't you listen to the Joker?
The, you're paid in loot.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I feel like they should at least have to compensate you for something a little bit, but I guess that's just me, because I don't need to have them. But the infusions are kind of one of the core features of the class, so after you hit third level, you get to choose a specialist. Now, there's too much content to go over once, so today we're going to talk about all the core features, and then next week we're going to go over each of the specializations. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah, because there's quite a bit to each of them.
Each one, yeah, and I wasn't going to run for 3 hours, so. You also, at third level, get what's called the right tool for the job. You basically know how to produce exactly the tool you need with your tinker tools on hand. You basically can craft anything you need, whether it's like a key, a weapon, even, I would even say, like pieces of armor and stuff.
Actually, I think I will at least mention what these specializations are, just to preview, if you will, for next week.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Well, yeah, we would, go ahead.
The three options you can choose are the alchemist.
Yes.
The artillerist. And last, but most certainly not least, the battlesmith.
Yeah, and they all have their strengths and weaknesses, which I like.
Yep.
I love the alchemist, personally. I like making things that go boom. And not just, you know, guns. So what is interesting about the tool, right tool for the right job, is you can, once you use it again, it does, the other thing goes poof, I think. So they are temporary, but just being able to be Batman and pull something out of your belt, though it does say it takes an hour of creation time, uninterrupted work, so you can't do it on a, you can't do it during, like, combat or something like that, but being able to not, let's say you're trying to get into a big door, well, okay, I'm gonna make a, I don't know, crowbar or a giant lever and fulcrum or something. Who knows? Those aren't really great examples, but you get it. So, of course, at level 4, 8th, 12th, 16th, and 19th, you also get your ability score improvements. If this was me personally, I would definitely focus on getting my secondary stat and not my intelligence, my number one, just because I don't, and maybe I'll figure that out best, that...
And they have secondary casters, too, though, so I think you can get away with it, especially if your DM does a lot of firearms, which I don't think are as game-breaking as a lot of people make them out to be.
Yeah,
and you don't,
I would agree, especially if only one class can do it.
Especially since you don't get multiple attacks.
That's true. That definitely adds it to it, I think, quite a bit, actually. One thing I did notice, kind of talking about the spellcasting, and we'll actually get to that, we'll talk about some of the features of the spellcasting. Well, we can probably do that right now. It looks like a lot of the list is the similar to the what is on the wizard spell list, as far as I can tell.
But you do get some curing options, though.
I did notice that, and I think that that's cool, especially when you can get one of the abilities you can get is you can imbue an item with magic storing that anybody can use later, which I think is fantastic.
Like magic weapon
or heal.
Or haste.
Absorb elements. Absorb elements was the first one that I really thought of with that.
Haste was the one I thought of.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Everyone, unlock with your powers combined. Unlock haste now. at sixth level, you access Tool of Expertise, which basically your proficiency bonus is doubled for any ability check that you make that uses a tool you're proficient with. That's amazing. I don't know if you guys know, but getting expertise is a huge boon that makes it very difficult to fail when you're involved in whatever that check is, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, I don't want to say guaranteeing your success, but it's a huge boon. I personally love expertise, and I've multiclassed into Rogue or in Bard a couple times just to get those expertise things, or Jack of All Trades for that extra bonus to my checks. So, what can you tell us about the flash of genius there at 7th level there, Ian?
Flash of Genius. When you or another creature you see within 30 feet makes an ability check or saving throw, you can use your reaction to add your intelligence modifier to their roll, which you can only use equal to the amount of your intelligence modifier until a long rest.
So this basically allows you to come up with solutions in quickly under pressure in a snap, right?
Under pressure.
Son of a bitch. Anytime you can boost saving throws of allies is a huge ability. And the fact you can do it with just your reaction is awesome. And this will probably, I imagine this stacks with like the Paladin's Aura that does the and boost 1d4 to saving throws.
And this could be up to a plus five, up to five times, so...
That's huge.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a powerful ability like a mind control effect on the barbarian who needs all the help he can get, generally.
Can you mind control somebody who... when there's that much there in the first place?
Mm-hmm. You know what I... So, what I really like about this is, you ever watch the old movie Flubber?
Yeah.
With Robin Williams?
Yeah.
He's got his little robot thing that floats around him. Weeblo? Weeblo, whatever. I really envision Flash of Genius being like me creating like a hovering NPC that constantly gives me advice, yep. Like or like Iron Man's Friday, right?
Yep.
Where he constantly is given, sir, I don't think that is advisable.
Or in Legend of Korra, Zuli, do the thing!
Yeah, do the thing. I love it. Chuckle says, I can see flavoring the artificer's healing as an IV that appears and heals them through a liquid pumped into them. I love that. I think once I talked about, or somebody...
Syringe.
I think somebody actually ran like a drug addict with that used syringes to heal everyone. Yep. He basically treated them like a stim pack from... StarCraft, Star Wars. There's a couple different ones where they get the stim packs, and I thought that was really cool. So I can definitely see some of these features being like that. Ah, at 10th level, you get access to Magic Item Adapt, which is pretty cool. You achieve a profound understanding of how to use magic items, which basically means you can now attune up to 4 items at once. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
The more I mean...
Normally it's 3, so... Yeah,
the bigger limitation in 5e to the number of items you can use. Sure, you can collect a bunch, but most of them require... A bunch of them require attunement. I don't know that it's most of them. I don't know what the ratio is, but it sure seems like a lot of them.
But wait, there's more. If you craft a magic item with a rarity of common or uncommon, it takes a quarter of the normal time, and it costs you half as much as the usual gold.
That's awesome.
I really hope there's more some of the gold cost rolls in Eberron then, considering how wide open it is in the DMG.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is actually one thing I can't stand, to be honest, because I know Wizards want it to be generally open and up to the DM decision, but some of us want clearing guidelines, dang it!
Fair enough. I really think this is neat just because it gets you more into the crafting of items and the fact that it makes it cheaper for you, which means you can resell them at a profit, or it's cheaper for your group as a whole if you decide to just give them away. You're not wasting your direct income.
That's it. I'm at page 275. Magic item rules.
Why?
We just talked about crafting magical items!
Okay.
Well, at the very least, I'm seeing at a glance way more magic items to pull from. A few of them actually look pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Arcane Propulsion Arm. That just sounds awesome.
Go, go, Gadget Arm! Punch that guy in the dick! Oh, man.
It does do 1d8 force damage on a hit, so...
Nice. So at 11th level, you get the, and I mentioned this earlier, the spell storing item. You learn how to store a spell in an object. Whenever you finish a long rest, you can touch one simple or martial weapon or one item that you can use as a spell casting focus and store a spell in it, choosing a first or second level spell from the artificer spell list that requires one action to cast. You needn't have to prepare it. That's fantastic.
Yep.
I'm busted though, man. That makes me sad because it specifically says from the artificer spell list. So if I take a feat that lets me take a wizard spell, is that now added to my spell list?
Good question.
I don't know that right offhand. If anybody in chat knows, please let me know. Because I'm not exactly sure if when, like, if, what's the stupid name of the damn feat? Is it Magic Initiate? I think it's Magic Initiate.
I'm looking it up.
But I don't know that it actually says that it adds it to your spell list. I think it just says it counts. Oh, it might say it counts as a spell. I don't know. Can you look that up for me?
I am looking it up. I just said that.
I appreciate that. It says, so, while holding the object, a creature can take an action to produce the spell's effect from it. If you are... Oh, it takes an action. Can't use a reaction. That's a shame.
Yeah.
So that means no, like, absorb elements or anything like that. That's less... That's a little bit less cool than I thought it was, but... What are you going to do? Ah, this is really neat. So it actually uses the spellcasting modifier of the... artificer and not whoever's using it, but it does, if they require concentration, they still have to concentrate on it, and that's pretty cool. It does say the spell stays in the object until it's been used a number of times equal to twice your intelligence modifier. Holy shit! That's awesome! It basically has charges. It's not a one-and-done thing.
Yep.
I didn't realize that the first time I read through that. That's fantastic!
Okay, Magic Initiate. She's a class. Bard, cleric, druid, sorcerer, warlock, or wizard. You learn two cantrips of your choice from that class's spell list. In addition, choose one first level spell from that same list. You can learn that spell and cast it as if it's lowest level. Once you cast it, you must finish a long rest. Your spell casting ability for your spells depends on the class you choose. So,
so it doesn't say anything about adding it to your spell list. It's not like
of your class, no.
Yeah, it's not like this one that says you get these are additional spells added to expanded spell list or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. Also, if you cast this again, it can only be on one item at a time. It looks like. So, but the fact you can get it's double your intelligence modifier, that means once you imbue something with a first or second level spell, it can use it up to 10 times. I think that's fantastic.
Yep.
Chuckles is like, no shield spam, sorry.
Would it be a shame if I decided to use haste?
That would be a good one, though, because once you cast it, you're not consuming any resources of the person that would normally need to do it, and I think that's fantastic. How would you flavor that when you're going through the imbuing process? Would you do anything special?
Okay, haste is a one action casting. I can't remember if it's a bonus action, so. But you do get one.
Well, it just says use your action to cast, to use the effect. I was specifically saying we can't now use shield because shield uses a reaction.
Yeah.
As opposed to, so you couldn't do it on your turn, or on another turn. So this is interesting. So for spell storing, I feel like this could be a lot of fun if you come up with a method of how you do it, whether it's channeling energy directly from yourself or doing it the old Hephaestus style with a hammer on an anvil and just beating them. I think that could be really interesting. I do think that if I was to do like the really weird like orc, I would play like an orc character who imbues magic items by pissing on them. I think that would be fun. My pee has power.
That's your orc, not the settings orc. Just saying.
What do they get at level 14 there, Ian?
Magic item savant. Oh, shield. Until the start of your next turn, you have a +5 bonus. So.
Oh, so if you do cast it, it still lasts one round. You just wouldn't be able to do it as a reaction.
Yeah.
So that still would definitely provide a benefit if you could use it. At 14th level, they get what? Magic item savant, which increases the attunement slots you have up to 5 now.
Yep.
Holy shit.
And you ignore all class, race, spells, and level requirements on attuning magical items.
I love that. That is so cool. I would like that. So, I mean, like... An artificer with the freaking robes of the archmage? Are you kidding me? That'd be awesome.
I'm sorry, but you can't use the elven bow. Well, I'll take your racist magic item and use it myself.
That's funny. I have no limitations. Bow before me in the use of magic items. So this one to me isn't as exciting, but I guess that depends on what you get around the same level for your specialist classes, but you get a magic item master, which means now you can attune up to 6 magic items at once.
Which tastes like, dude, gun mage bullets.
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
Actually, there's an infusion for that.
There's an infusion for that? There is.
Repeating shot. Item. There it is. A similar martial weapon with the ammunition property. This magic item gains +1 to attack and damage when used, and if you load no ammunition in the weapon, it produces its own.
That's fantastic.
So if you're loading a gun.
Kaboom, yo. Or, I can't do it very well. That's not any better either. Brandon does it great. There you go, that's a good one. That's basically what it sounds like. That's my repeating gun. So.
The Warthog.
At level 20, you get the Soul of the Artifice. You develop a mystical connection to your magic items, which you can draw upon for protection. Ooh, that's tickling my dice.
You gain a +1 bonus to all saving throws per magic item you are currently attuned to.
Oh, shit. So if you got 6 magic items, are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, this is a level 20 ability, but still.
Still, like, if you got 6 magic items, that's a plus. That's insane, isn't it?
Yep. And if you Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, it's saving throws, but still, that means, like, you would succeed most of the time, I'd imagine.
Oh, and if you're reduced to 0 hit points but not outright killed, you can use your reaction to end one of your artificial infusions, instead causing you to jump to 1 HP instead of 0.
That's an amped up version of the half-orc racial, isn't it?
They can do up to 6 times.
That's fantastic. But they lose power every time they do, which I think is a nice trade-off.
Let me see. Up to 6 infused items, so.
Damn. That's savage. Overall, what do you think of the core features of this of the Artificer.
Just go have a core feature. These are pretty fun.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely like a blast. I made a bunny. I would say that based off the core, I think they did a pretty good job so far. It definitely seems to stand on its own and as far as it not being it being unique from the rest of the classes.
But once again, we have three specialist options you can choose from.
Yeah.
The Alchemist, the Artillerist, and the Battlesmith.
Which we will be talking about next week because there's so much content in here. I did want to say that I'm looking at some of the spells on the spell list. And I feel like some of these belong to other classes.
Yeah.
Spare the Dying is certainly a cleric cantrip, isn't it?
Yeah.
That to me is interesting. So it dabbles in a few different other classes to get features. Like create food and water. What is catnap? Is that new?
Is there an asterisk next to it?
Yes.
That means it's in
Xanathar's Guide. Thank you for that. So I do think it's pretty cool because it dabbles in a couple different class spell lists. So definitely most is the wizard, it seems, though. Mm-hmm. Wait, heat metal? Isn't heat metal a druid one?
And a forged domain cleric.
That's dope. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
I would make burning trinkets. It's a second level spell. you can infuse that into a magic item and make it, and just hand it somebody and watch them melt their head and give them some armor that triggers it. You gotta make it like a magic word, just have them put it on and then trigger the effect. That'd be like more like Glyph of Warding, I think, as a trap.
Yeah.
Oh, you could totally just trap magic items.
I mean, heat metal, of course, is very situational because it does require you to fight enemy that's wielding or wearing metal armor. But
But if you infuse it into a piece of metal armor, and then give it away.
But that
I want to be a.
That's not how that works.
Really?
Because when you infuse a item with that spell. It basically means whoever wields it, said item, is the one who...
Triggers it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you tell them it's going to do something cool. Like a ion blast like Iron Man has, but instead it just melts their face. Like, you go in to be a weapon, underground weapon salesman, but you sell items that kill them. Okay, maybe that's a little too in-depth, but... overall, I'm really excited for this. I honestly, I've read through some of the classes, and I can't wait to talk more about them. I already think about ways that I think they could be improved slightly, but that there's specifically one, but I don't want to lean anybody to it till we get to it. But
yeah.
Other than that, I think this is exciting. I think they really nailed it. Now, I do know there was a lot of... playtesting and the Unearthed Arcanas and stuff that was going on for this. So that really is exciting. A lot of these changes came as a result of those. So any comments on this before we move on to our next segment?
Fun stuff. Lots of fun stuff.
Yeah, like I said, I really enjoy it and I hope I look forward to covering the rest of it next week. So I think that'll do it for our main topic today, the class analysis of the Artificer Part 1 Core Features.
Oh, Chuckles, you amuse me because we're about to touch on that.
What's that?
Trigger it when they're racist. Every time the dwarf grumbles about the elf, his armor gets red hot.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Maybe he's got the show notes open because that's one of part of our character concept, I think, or something similar.
Well, more like we quoted by dwarf character who's totally a racist.
Yeah. So I think that'll do it for our main topic today. Before we move on to our Unearthed Tips and Tricks, we have another gift to give away. The Madhouse of Tasha's Kiss, compliments of Jeff Stevens.
A small village, empty of villages except for one boy, found sitting and weeping next to a jester's pageant wagon. The boy explains that the villagers, including his family, followed a jester into the wagon and never came out. What madness could the adventurers face? Can they save the villagers, or will they go mad trying? Can you survive the madhouse of Tasha's Kiss?
I was actually on an episode of the One Shot Onslaught, and they ran this.
Played in the car on the way down to a cake gun.
I did. I was really enjoying it. Just second part just came out, so.
Yep.
So who's our winner today, Ian?
Our winner today is Adkins.Hal.
Chuckle says, did not read the show notes, promise.
Yeah. Adkins Hal, depends on how you want
to
read it.
Congratulations to Adkins Hal. We hope you enjoy the adventure. If you do, please leave Jess Stevens a review. Old Handy DK says, been watching Criminal Minds lately, and I feel like Agent Hotchner, as a Hotchner, would like to have a word with Justin's Artificer. Criminal Minds. All right.
And now, what you've all been waiting for, our Unearthed Tips and Tricks segment, where we bring you new and reusable material for both players and DMs.
Oh, no. Ian, yeah. So our character concept comes from you, the obsessive craftsman.
By me, I really mean my forged domain clerk I run on Saturdays.
Why don't you tell us about it, this character concept you have?
I call this character concept the obsessive craftsman. The character...
Craftsman?
Craftsman.
Oh.
Craftsman, you idiot.
Well, I read...
Oh, crap, I'm getting the character.
Do it, handle it, let's hear it.
The character who's obsessed with craftsmanship for items in general. They want to be above all else in terms of making sane things, including smithing, better than anyone else, and have no issues criticizing the workmanship of others. They're obsessed to the point where they're even pause for a moment in combat to explain to a troll how poorly smith and maintained their hammer is, and how dare they use such an inferior item.
I like this. I really do. I think this is a fun...
I might even walk away to make something better for said troll so they can kill the adventurers properly.
I really like this, because you also talk about how... Nobody can make weapons as good as you. Dwarfs are the best.
Yep.
Around, nothing's gonna ever keep me
down.
Yeah,
the dialogue you put there actually was from our adventure.
Mm-hmm.
This weapon found in the skull of a dragon seems to be elf crap. It's a legendary spear of dragon slaying. It's still elf crap!
Not strong as dwarven. Now, I thought, in lore, are dwarves better craftsmen than elves, or is it the other way around?
I think it depends on whether you ask a dwarf or an elf.
fair enough. Really like this concept, man.
Because I remember even like elves in the PHP, for example, like when it gets like depends on other races. For dwarves, like they can almost make items as good as we can. I guess they hate orcs more than we do, though, so that's a plus.
So let me ask you this: if your Warforged domain cleric got this amazing, awesome mace, this magical item, but then the lore check on it or whatever determined that it was created in the bowels of a magical tree by an elf, would you still use it?
It's elf crap.
Well, I appreciate that you stick to your guns on that one, because I don't know that I would. Be like, oh, I gotta change my flaws and shit now, because that's really good. I like this character. I think you have fun with it. I really enjoyed it when I've seen it, so... I
love my portion of main clerk. So does a 20 hit you? No. Wait, what? Aren't you level 1? Yes. But how does a 20 miss you? Because my AC is 21. How? Let me see here. I got like a 16 for chainmail, got plus 2 for the shield, gave plus 1 for just being a portion of main clerk, and I picked the armor option. And then I cast a shield of faith, which had another plus 2, so...
Damn. That's really magical.
Yeah.
Go for the nads.
Yep.
Kick you in the dick. All right, I think that'll do it for the obsessive craftsman. Our monster variant of the day is the psionic acolyte. So in order to do that, the origin for this is the cultist, and I realized I didn't act. Oh, yeah, I did it. It's way down there. I'm a schmuck. That's what happens when you do stuff on a phone. So the origin for this is the cultist, so which means you're going to have to lose a feature. You're going to remove the lose. You're going to lose dark devotion. And what you're going to add to it is the psionic blade, which basically means the scimitar damage is now going to do psychic damage instead of its normal slashing damage. And you're going to give it psychic defense. The scion has advantage on saving throws against enchantments and illusions. And you're going to give it innate spell casting with a DC of 12. And it's going to have at wills, minor illusion, and vicious mockery. And then once a day, it can do charm person, detect thoughts, and shield. So this is my first attempt at psionic monsters. I'm going to do three more at different levels. This was a very introductory monster.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely, do you feel? I feel like it did get the psionic feel going for it. I've got some really nice stuff planned for the next couple monsters. But what do you think about this, Ian?
It's good. And the spells it can use are... For the wheels are minor illusion, ambitious mockery, and once a day each, they use charm person or detect thoughts and shield. Not gonna lie, every time I see vicious mockery, I always think of like that one heckler from Happy Gilmore.
Yes, you suck, you jackass. So this is very much meant to be a very. And I don't know if you guys know, the Unearthed Arcana just came out that had psionic. Subclasses, psionic versions of a bunch of the subclasses. So that was kind of the inspiration for this and the next couple that I've made already. But the goal here was to give the players something that they wouldn't expect. They're used to going up against cultists and cult fanatics that have certain abilities. Yep. This one will throw them for a loop and it'll catch that raging barbarian by the dick. They are not going to be expecting that blade to shiv right through their rage and take full damage. So it's definitely a fun lobby monster to run, or doesn't have to be a monster, be like a human or whatever, you know what I mean. But the detect thoughts is a lot of fun because they can also be great spies against the players too, which is fun. So do you have any comments on this bad boy here? Anything you could see it being used for, anything like that?
Yep. I mean, it's a straightforward enough like cultist and monster and a cult of scion sounds kind of awesome, so...
Yeah, definitely. I think that'll do it for our monster variant, the Psionic Acolyte. Would you like to tell us about our encounter of the podcast, Ian?
Storm Giant Games. A pair of twins from the Feywild approached a group on the road. They are selling magical trinkets. The catch is they must be chosen from a bag without seeing the item first. The other catch is they don't accept gold. They trade favors, which they must secure through the use of the Gia spell.
This is savage. So I started our Instagram stuff, and I started following Storm Giant Games. This was one of the hooks they had, and I instantly fell in love with it when I read it. I love the idea of, since we were talking Artificer, it just fit, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about magic items, you have these people selling. Maybe they are not hags. Maybe they're sketchy-ass wizard and artificer who give away these magical trinkets.
Oh, from Storm Giant Games.
Okay. Yeah, I fixed it. It didn't say that, but I knew that. But you didn't know that because it wasn't written there, so I
So what's the encounter called, then?
I don't know. They ain't get what's not a name. I don't know. The old bait and switch, maybe? I don't have a name for it, but...
The first one's free.
Oh, yes! That's good. I like that. The first one is free.
For a price.
So... Do you think this was something that would be a fun random encounter, or do you think it should be more fun? It could be a scale better than just a random encounter.
No, I think it could be pretty fun, and you just have to be careful what table you roll on.
Yeah, definitely. I do like the idea that the it requires a favor, because now it goes from a short encounter to here's a magic item for you to I need you to do this for me. And if they're good people and it asks for something bad, that can be definitely something that goes against their morals that will make them end up regretting it or trying to atone for a mistake that they did, but they didn't quote unquote do. You know what I mean? Which I think it's a lot of fun. Long live Dr. Demento. Wizard Cadia says, guys, two things. Infuse fireball into a bullet called Hell's Shot. Oh, and it can. What does that say?
I think he meant to say warlock. He cursed himself.
It says, oh, so it says, and can a warlock have multiple contracts?
No.
You mean patrons?
Yes.
You can have multiple contracts. You can contract with anybody, but I think you can only technically have one patron. Well, I guess. I don't know. Well, I guess from a flavor standpoint, it wouldn't matter.
You only get one archetype, so.
Well, yeah, but I would say that it would be more about is the Archfiend that you picked one, or is it like a council or something? You know what I mean? The Archfey.
That's fair.
So I guess that depends if you're going for mechanics or trying to get extra bonuses. So I don't think you can get multiple contracts for quote unquote the different packs, because that would be not something you can do. Anyways, I think that'll do it for the Encounter podcast. The first one is free from Storm Giant Games. I really like this, and I cannot wait to make a cool counter like this where you guys have to do a favor for me. Our magic item of the podcast comes from a Catalyst on Twitter. It's called Neket's Practical Mage Robe. This flowy yet practical robe allows even the most organizationally challenge spellcasters to tidy up their inventory and ensure their items are where they're supposed to be. The robe's animated straps allow the wearer to carry up to 4 staves, rods, and wands while leaving their hands free. That's interesting.
Yep.
The robe also helps forgetful mages keep their defenses up. So it's a wondrous item, rare, and requires attunement by a sorcerer or a wizard or a high enough level artificer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called a dress with pockets feature. The robe has 2 side pockets, each of which act as a bag of holding. That's cool. Wow, that's really...
2 bags of holding, actually.
Each pocket, the 2 pockets each act as a bag of holding. While you're attuned to this robe, you can use a mental command, no action required, to cause the robe's animated flaps, straps, and belts to store or retrieve any item. Dude, I'm totally envisioning like a...
Potions.
No, I wasn't even thinking about, like, how does it, you got these things, like, reaching in and pulling out and twisting and everything. I'm very much into the Venom mind right now, where his body just got little tendrils that go out and just do shit.
I was thinking Doctor Strange, but okay.
Oh, yeah, that's probably closer. Whatever. I think it's interesting that it requires no action from you. So, you just say, robe, potion, please. What's the next feature that it has?
Lost and found. Well, attuned to this robe, you can't be disarmed. The robe's animated flaps, straps, and belts immediately return any item you drop unintentionally back to your hands. Any attempts to pickpocket you are made with disadvantage.
That's awesome. So basically, not into that, buddy.
And the next feature is unforgettable armor. This robe stores spells cast into it as a ring of spell storing, but any stored spells, regardless of the level, are turned into mage armor spells for the wearer. And the robe can store up to 5 charges of mage armor at a time.
This is fantastic.
Yep.
Because it basically allows you to convert extra power into mage armor, so you don't have to waste precious slots on the mage armor. Yep.
Take a shot, Tablet.
What do you think about this magic item?
I like it a lot.
I do too. I like that it feels sentient, but it isn't. Yep. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, other people would think it's sentient, it's not, and it can carry some of your stuff. It doesn't mention the spell book. It says it can carry rods, stat. I would love for it to, like, hold out the spell book in front of you for you as you read incantations, and a belt comes and flips the page and shit. So I think that would be cool. Also, having it weave them around would be kind of cool.
Check them. I was scrubbing the floors! What were you thinking?
Not that. All I saw was get down on knees, and I'm like, whoa, I'm not into that. I think that'll do it for our magic item from Catalyst on Twitter, the Neckets and Practical Mage Robe. Thank you so much. Our Dungeon Master tip comes from Artificers in Other Worlds. This is a small snippet for DM tips right out of the Eberron Rising from the Last War,
yep.
Which... One thing I find is some DMs are like, oh, it's in a different setting, I don't want it in the game. They actually give you a small segment that actually gives you reasons of why to have it. In this one it says, Eberron is the world most associated with artificers, yet the class can be found throughout the D&D multiverse. That is literally the first line.
Yep. Note, multiverse, multiple worlds, people travel through them all the freaking time.
Yeah, so, so if you're a player that wants to use this and your DM won't... Go to this segment in the show. What time does it have a timer on it? I don't see a timer on there. That's not useful at all. Come back to this segment of the show and then read this to him, or pick up that book and read it to him. It says, in the Forgotten Realms, for example, the island of Lantan is home to many artificers. It just told you, in the world of Forgotten Realms. Oftentimes, places such as Mystaria, various nations employ artificers to keep the airships and other wonders devices optional. That's cool.
Didn't it also reference Ravnica?
Yep. It does. It references a bunch of other stuff. Not a verbatim copy. It's just a snippet. But it says, in the city of Sigil, artificers share discoveries from throughout the cosmos. And one in particular, the gnome inventor V, has run a multiverse spanning business from there since leaving the world of her birth, Eberron. In the world city of Ravnica, the Izzet League trains numerous artificers, in the destructiveness of whom is unparalleled in other worlds, except perhaps by Tinkerer Gnomes of Kryn. That's in Greyhawk? I don't know. What is Kryn in?
I never played Greyhawk, so I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways, so...
I just know it's like Gygax is like something that he crafted, so... Yeah.
What I think is interesting, because there's 2 things that come out of this, right? You first have the fact that it's in a new campaign setting book, right? Mm-hmm. So they already knew that there's going to be some DM douches that are going to be like, no, it's not in my setting. It's not in Forgotten Realms. It's in a different setting. You can't have it. That literally had to put that tip in there because they know there's going to be douches like that.
There's always one.
Yeah. And that's horrible. Don't be a dick.
And you always see them pop up on the internet all the time, too.
Yeah. Well, that was the reason I grabbed this is because I had already seen people complaining that, well, Emeron's high magic. That's not going to be in my Forgotten Realms setting. They said it is already there. So you're just not as good as a DM and thorough in your knowledge as you thought.
And it just goes to show that people will complain about anything.
Ain't that the truth?
And I do mean anything. Mm. I was like, are you really complaining about how realistic things are in a world full of magic?
Yeah, let me tell you how I'm going to complain about you not wearing your headphones. I paid good money for those.
Yeah, that's because I wear headphones at work. I can only wear them for so long before my ears start to hurt. So.
See, but I was just proving a point. I'll bitch about anything. So yep. Will anybody else. Sometimes it's just stupid shit. Anyways, do you have any other points on this? I think we covered that pretty good.
I think you can also, building on this, we kind of covered it, but if a player wants to do something, let them do it for the most part. As long as it's not anything absurd, especially when it's printed. Loosen up. It's not that big of a deal most of the time.
Yeah.
Like people who won't let players play Tabaxi because they won't want them to level their, quote, furry fantasies.
Most people don't have furry fantasies, I don't
exactly!
Think. Most people just want to be a fucking cat person because it's awesome.
Because they like Thundercats. And live rules.
I hear they're getting live action.
We'll see.
Yeah. Let's hope. That'll do it for our Dungeon Master tip. Artificers in other worlds. In another world. I love that. Our player tip of the podcast is...
Don't be a dick.
And you can avoid dickitude by listening to Storm Giant Games. Here's another one I found. Yep. I'm loving Instagram because when I scroll, it's just got all kinds of cool shit. This is Describe Your Inner World. Don't feel up to acting out your character's emotions. Some people don't feel like it. Some people just can't. And that's okay. Don't think you can weave the subtext of their feelings into a way they act in the game. Plainly describing what the character's thinking and feeling is just a good way to involve, just as good a way to involve your friends in your character's inner world as role playing it out. And I think that's fantastic.
Yep.
I have actually role played numerous times from a third person perspective.
Yep.
Where I would say Brick stands up from the table, walks over to the countertop, shaking his head in annoyance. Mm-hmm. That's just as effective as, oh, I can't steal this shit. He stands up and he walks away. Oh, I need a beer. You know, you can role play it out or you can just say it. Both are just as effective.
Yep.
And if you can't do that, that still helps the players around you understand how your character's feeling. If Ian's character tells a lie, or says a truth to somebody, and I turn and say, Brick shoots him a quick eye glance in surprise. That tells you that something that he just said is
right,
not right.
Yep. Well, kind of building off this, I forget which YouTube channel it was, but they kind of building off it in a similar way. He was talking about how he was, the guy was running a game, and one of the players like, I like to bluff this guy. Okay, roll bluff. What do you mean you roll bluff? I do role play it out, but I'm rolling the skill of bluff. Just like it says in the book.
Yeah, and you don't have to roll. You shouldn't have to role play it out.
Okay, and the DM stepped back and was like, you know, he's right. That actually is how the example works in the book. And that is a different way of playing. There's nothing wrong with it. So why should I penalize somebody who does something different?
Now, what I would say, as the DM, if a player plays like that, you can enhance the situation by saying, let's say you just did the roll bluff.
Right.
Yeah, you tell a convincing story about how your uncle was a guard in this area and really is bothered by blah, 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 and knows this person, and he let you in.
I mean, shoot. I remember one time where I was running a bard in Pathfinder one time. I'm like, I'm going to try to get in this noble's good side by saying something clever. I'm half asleep. I can't think of anything, so I'm just going to roll for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I rolled high, and the DM's like, and the noble laughs and goes, that's a good one!
See, that's a really great example. That's better than the shit I mumbled through. So, good job. But that's the point, right? You can get those points across without actually being engaged.
The point I'm trying to make, though, kind of what you're saying here, is there's more than one way to do things. And they all work. They're all fine. Yeah. It's okay. Let people do their crap.
Yeah, and then move on. I guess the advantage of something like that is it definitely speeds up the game.
Yeah.
Like, and oh, I rolled a bluff. No, okay. He doesn't believe you. He says, "What? How would I believe that shit? Clearly that's not true.
Well, that and different people at tables may have different play styles, and right. That's okay. They can't interact with each other. You can use all of them to build all the same game.
You're sure starting to sound like a person that just wants people to play what makes them happy, and I don't know how I feel about that. You know, there's a certain way that I run my table, and I want everyone to play my way, or they can get the fuck out. Ain't that right? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the way I see it is, if your entire argument is your fun is wrong, you've already lost the argument.
Yeah. So well, good, well done to Storm Giant Games. I think that'll do it for our player tip of the podcast.
Don't be a dick.
And you can avoid dickitude by describing your inner world. I think that'll do it for our show today. Please join us on our next episode. We will continue our discussion on our class analysis of the Artificer by breaking down each specialization option, the Alchemist, the Artillerist, and the Battlesmith.
If you have any feedback on our tips and tricks or topics you'd like us to discuss, please send them our way. You can email them to us at critacademy@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Crit Academy.
We hope you enjoyed your experience here at Crit Academy Studios. Where am I?
Yeah, your train of thought not only derailed, it crashed and burned and exploded.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed your experience here at Crit Academy. If you did, you can help others find our show by leaving a hopefully 5-star review on iTunes. Or you can just send us a message telling how much you enjoy the show. We enjoy those as well. Make sure to give us a like and a share. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch. Make sure to follow us on Twitch so you get notified when we go live. If you'd like to support the show, we just released a bundle of all of our content. It's called Unearthed. I'm not very clever with unique names, but I'll go ahead and put the link in the chat, or you can go to critacademy.com. It's basically a $12 bundle at the moment. That's the normal price with the thing. That's not the normal price. That's what it is with the Thanksgiving deal. I think it's like 15 on its own, but it includes everything that we've made on the guild, which, by the way, every single one of our products now is a bestseller.
I'm not complaining about that.
Me neither. It's exciting. So definitely check all that stuff off. Or you can become a patron and support us as for little as $1 a month. Everything you donate goes into the show, and you get all kinds of cool fat loots. So definitely check that out. Make sure to subscribe to our show at critacademy.com or follow us on Twitch and YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. We're trying to get people up in there, but we'll see how that goes. Yeah, it's there. I'm working on some stuff, but it's just I don't have the time for that shit. So, hey, if you want to be an intern at critacademy.com, send an email at critacademy.com with intern in the subject line, because I could use some help.
I bet you're missing Camden right about now.
Yeah, I miss any help. Yeah, but make sure you subscribe to our show at critacademy.com. That's how you can be entered to win cool prizes and all that jazz. Make sure to also check out our fellowship members, Interparty Conflict, in D&D Character Lab, and Brute Force and Ignorance. All those shows are awesome. I know Character Lab isn't making anything new, but they have, you know, over 100 episodes of awesome on there. Check it out. Also follow The Kind GM on Facebook and Twitter. His blog is awesome. Same thing with Orkin's Lair. Lots of good stuff. So I am your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Dan. Thanks for listening.
Keep your blades sharp and spells prepared, heroes.